Hey, movie lovers, I'm Maria.
And I'm Sam.
Welcome to Unsolicited Flick Picks.
Movie reviews no one asked for.
Okay, you guys, Miami Vice is a TV show from the 80s, and it was so yummy, they had to make a movie of it over two decades later. And we watched it, Miami Vice 2006. Based on the images I've seen online, the TV show like drips of 80s aesthetic. The movie, on the other hand, is a modern day 2000s take on the detective duo's takedown of some pretty savvy drug lords.
It's like how nowadays Netflix just needs to have a greedy reboot of every 80s franchise. So this was like the OG greedy reboot. They did it like before it was cool.
Yeah, before it was Netflix.
So before we get into it, I need to tell you about something that I watched last night.
Okay.
I'm a little bit behind the eight ball on this, like by a few weeks, but holy shit, I watched Bo Burnham's Inside. Have you seen it?
Oh, you did. Is it in episodes? I've seen the first episode.
No.
Oh.
No, it's just a special.
Yeah, okay. Well, we definitely did watch it. I just don't know if we made it through the whole thing. It was good.
Yeah, I am so glad I watched it. It was so good. It was like a 12 out of 10.
A 12 out of 10.
12 out of 10. Do yourself a favor and watch it if you haven't. It's been a long time since I've seen something this amazing.
That's fascinating. I thought it was really good. He is super brilliant and talented. And the fact that he recorded the whole thing like in isolation is wild. Oh, that's a great share. Love it.
All right, let's bring it on.
Okay.
Let's go to Miami.
Should we do a few statistics first?
Yeah. What do the people think about this movie?
Well, the people at the imdb.com rated it 6 out of 10. And Rotten Tomatoes, it got like 46% and then 40-something percent by audiences. So pretty mediocre at best.
Yeah. I will talk more about this when I discuss my overall thoughts, but I read quite a few reviews of this movie on IMDb. Yeah. And I think how it got a 6 is that there's a lot of really low scores, but there's a lot of 8s and 9s.
Oh.
I think there's a lot of people who are really big fans of the director of this movie. So watched it kind of because they know that that's like what they're going to get from that director.
Oh.
Whose name I'm not sure of.
His previous work, we're not sure either.
So this movie starts extremely abruptly in a sweaty Miami club, and unfortunately this is the best part of the movie, and not because it's been probably 2 years since I've been in like a sweaty crowded bar thanks to COVID.
No,
it is because of the opening track.
The opening track is unreal. It really set the stage. It's like a hip-hop remix with Linkin Park's Numb. And it's Jay-Z and Linkin Park collaboration.
It's called Encore Numb.
I watched it on YouTube. I watched Jay-Z perform it live in LA in 2004, just before we started recording. And he's like a little, just a baby. And he's on stage with Linkin Park. It looks like a great time. Talk about nostalgia to like sweaty clubs or live music.
Mm.
It was hitting hard. We can talk about music later, or we'll just slip it in now. A pretty decent soundtrack in terms of like early 2000s. Early 2000s music in my books was just all really good.
Agreed.
There was a few other songs by Moby, Audio Slave, and In the Air by Phil Collins.
Oh, all right. I have some thoughts on the music that we'll get into a little later too.
So in this sweaty nightclub, we get to see some of the main characters, Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx. They play a detective duo. They're partners. Colin Farrell's character's name is Sonny, and Jamie Foxx plays Rico. The two leading ladies in the movie are absolutely stunning. Gong Li plays Isabella, who's like associated with the drug lords that we'll come to talk about. And Naomi Harris is another detective, but she's also Rico's love wife, maybe. They're all very, very, very beautiful.
I for real had no idea what their names were the whole movie. And I watched it with subtitles, of course, but I just had no idea because I just found the dialogue so convoluted that I didn't pick that up. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Who was who? The only way I managed was I watched it on Amazon Prime. And if you watch it on your, like, if you cast on Amazon Prime to a TV on your phone, it shows you scene by scene, like who's in the scene, who the actors are and who their characters are.
Yeah. Amazon X-ray.
Oh, yeah.
That's such a great feature. I love it. So they're in the club and they're seem to be tailing this guy who's in a white suit, who's like a real sleaze bag. But he gets away. They have his hotel room bugged. And what was notable to me about this was the tech. It was like literally a brick phone with like the worst video quality. And these are like, what, FBI maybe? I don't know. But their tech was not good quality.
Kind of clunky.
Colin Farrell, I'm pretty sure, had a Razer phone.
Oh.
Do we remember the Razer phone?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Right. So, yes, they're tailing this guy. I guess he appears to be a pimp at the very least. He's selling some young girls like to other sleazebags. They're having none of it. Sonny and Rico, they like bust through the club, knock out a few guys, and then Sonny gets a phone call from some other cop, I think. I don't know.
I think he was an informant.
An informant, yes. You're right. Something about a deal gone wrong, and that's probably the first time we hear the word deal, but it won't be the last. This word is said hundreds of times.
The code word.
Yeah. This deal, that deal.
Also, the infamous deal somehow is involved with a white supremacist group called the Aryan Brotherhood. What would it be like to go back to 2006, a time when they probably pitched the script and they're like, get this, white supremacists. Wouldn't that be crazy for a film villain? Wild. Little did they know, current day, still dealing with white supremacists. It's not far-fetched, unfortunately.
No. Yeah, the details of the crime and the deals, a little convoluted, a little unclear. They're doing cop stuff, and there's a car chase. And meanwhile, at another drug deal meet and greet, a couple other undercover FBI agents literally get blown to pieces.
There are so many like tough looking men in this movie that I could just like barely keep up. It was like all just a blended sea of like one dimensionality nothing gave me any reasons to care about them and their business and their deals.
Yes.
There was no like motivation for me to care about their business.
Yeah, I get that. Almost I was just hanging on by a thread to keep up to the two main characters, Rico and Sonny. Like, could barely follow what they were doing, let alone all these other deals and setups and
subplots.
Yeah, agencies. Anyway, the two main characters, Rico and Sonny, get recruited to go undercover and find out how those first FBI agents that got blown to pieces, how their cover got blown. And they end up in Haiti posing as guys who will move drugs and guns. So like transporters, I guess. And so we go from Miami to Haiti.
I didn't even clock that they went to Haiti. I completely missed that detail. When you wrote this, I was like, did she make a typo? But no, all right.
I'm pretty sure. And then they end up in Cuba at one
point. News to me.
Yeah, they go to Haiti and end up in like a real tough guy backroom negotiation about whether or not they're going to be hired to move the Haitian drug lord's goods. And I guess they're deemed worthy of the job. So we think they have to go meet the big boss. He actually seems like a real nice guy, and he's got a wife who is Isabella, and she's comes to be Sunny's love interest.
Every time a new person is on the screen, I have no idea, like, if they're important or not, and that there's no time to, like, get to know the characters or their intents. And, like, I'm all for, like, not pandering to your audience and like, you know, reveal stuff with context and clues. But, like, sweet Jesus, this was just all jargon and, like, not inspired dialogue at all. At the point when they're trying to, like get the guy to believe that they're undercover, the dude is like, who do you work with? Like, do I know you're good at this? Like, who knows? And Colin Farrell just goes, well, my mommy and my daddy know me. He says mommy and daddy. Colin Farrell, a grown-ass man, a, like, undercover cop, says mommy and daddy to a drug lord.
Yeah, that's his, like, comeback.
Jamie Foxx goes, we didn't come here to audition for business. Business auditions for us. Like, dialogue. Have we heard of it? I personally got the sense that the strain that Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx were feeling, because they are in some great movies. Like, I think in the year this came out, Jamie Foxx was in Dreamgirls. So it was, like, a big year for him. They have been in some really good movies with some, like, incredible people behind it. And when you watch a movie with Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx in the lead, two incredible actors, they're supposed to say, hey there, movie watcher, don't worry. I'm going to navigate you through this plot with such skill and professionalism. Don't you worry about a thing. But instead, they got in the car, buckled us in, put a brick on the gas pedal, and just sent us flying off a bridge. Shame. I do not feel safe watching this movie.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Anytime I felt unsafe, I just had to look into Colin Farrell's eyes and his beautiful little ponytail, and everything was right. Okay, so back to this painful plot. They get their drugs from Haiti all loaded up and head back to the U.S. So keep in mind, they are undercover cops and have, like, the worst cell phones and technology, but somehow have access to, like, private jets and super go fast boat and all these, like, and
I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
At what point, when, like, a cop is undercover, at what point, like, they did move some drugs? At where's the line between, like, you're undercover trying to, like, catch a drug dealer, but before that you have to, like, deliver drugs and, like, help the drug dealer?
Yeah.
Like, it's such a weird concept.
No, it's a great question, which brings us to the next scene, or the next sort of subplot story, where Sunny basically strikes up a love affair with Isabella, who, like I said, is married to the Haitian big boss. And she's cool, but he just goes from Miami to Cuba with her randomly one night. They're like, let's go for drinks. And they take the boat to Cuba.
They're just like, no big deal. Just drive your tiny little speedboat to a literal foreign country. That gave me a spike in blood pressure. It's like if I go somewhere that has the potential to be, like, an overnight trip, like, God help me if I don't have my skincare, my pajamas. I straight up have a bad time without those things. And Colin didn't even have his hair gel to keep his hair slicked back in what I thought was a disgusting way, but you seem to enjoy it.
Yeah, I like the ponytail. And the whole Cuba trip, it was great. But probably not something that a cop should do, just sneak into Cuba, an American cop sneak into Cuba illegally with a criminal, like, even though you're undercover. Like you said, where's the line? It's a pretty good gig. Two of them, Sunny and Isabella, seem to have a really nice time in Cuba. And meanwhile, Rico is back in Miami just doing business.
Yeah, it seems to be working out for him. They do sex on the beach. while an Audioslave song is playing in the background.
Oh, nice.
Nothing says this was written by males, for males, like Audioslave during a sex scene. I, like, had to stop and Shazam it to be like, is this Audioslave? Anyway, the two have a very heartfelt conversation about their parents over breakfast mojitos, as one does when they were in Cuba.
In Havana. Yeah, and then back to the deals, I guess. Their initial mission of just finding out how the FBI, the dead FBI agent's cover got blown. That mission grows to Sonny and Rico wanting to, like, take down the big, big boss from Haiti. It kind of seems like Sonny just really likes this life of crime. Jesus.
The big boss's name is Jesus, but it's spelled Jesus.
Yeah.
And I was watching his subtitles. I could be like, Jesus?
Isn't there like some story in the Bible about Jesus being a criminal? Anyway.
I can't remember. Catechism.
Yeah, so Sonny and Rico want to infiltrate the Haitian gangs and get to the big boss, Jesus. And seems like Sonny kind of just really likes the life of crime. He likes his new girl, so he wants to stay undercover for as long as possible. He doesn't want to go back to the boring streets of Miami. Kind of out of nowhere, Rico's girl, or their partner, one of the detectives, Trudy, gets taken hostage.
And Maria, from here on out, you are on your own, because I completely glazed over from here. I haven't a clue what happens from here on out. So I will react live to you telling me about the rest of the movie.
Oh God, that's a lot of pressure. Yeah. You have a nice way of retelling the plots of stories where it's actually like story time with Sam. But my way of telling the plots to stories is like one sentence about this scene, one sentence about the next scene. So here we go. Bear with me.
I trust.
Oh, but we can just take a moment to talk about the best worst part of the whole movie, in my opinion. So Rico's girl Trudy, or I should just call her Trudy. She's not Rico's girl. She's Trudy. She's another detective. She gets taken hostage by, we're not exactly sure who, but the cops figure out where she's being held hostage, literally because she makes some reference. So she's on the phone with Rico. Her captor puts her on a cell phone and calls Rico just to say, like, hey, we got your girl. And all she says is something about there being, like, trailer trash, white trailer trash in the room with her. And
that's all of Florida.
The cops go, oh, was there a hum, like, by the highway? And they go, no, airplanes. And from that, they deduce the exact trailer park that she's at by the airport, send them to that trailer park, and because the captors have, like recording and audio technology, they're like, it's going to be the trailer with the antennas.
Is this an episode of Criminal Minds?
No, Criminal Minds would be way better than this. So of all the trailer parks in Miami, they get there in like a matter of minutes. So, so dumb. But they find the trailer with the antennas and they get Trudy out safely, mostly. There's a big explosion and she actually nearly dies, like, after she's rescued by Sonny and Rico. And we find out that it's actually the Haitians that took Trudy, even though they're supposed to be working with Sonny and Rico. It's all very, by this time, it's just very boring. The deal is still not done. The loads are in transit. They have another phone call about how we're going to do the deal. There's a new deal. It's the only deal. Blah, blah, blah. A little bit during this part of the movie, I never really knew if they were in Florida or Cuba or Haiti. Then the final deal goes down. There's a big, like, shooting match. And Sonny saves Isabella from getting shot in this big mess. But then Isabella realizes that he's a cop. Because they fell in love or whatever while he was undercover. And then she realizes, oh shit, you're a cop. And she's kind of pissed. But he still just wants to get her out of that mess. It just seems like the whole point was to, like, kill a bunch of drug dealers and make a big mess. Like, yeah. No one's actually getting arrested. There's no tact or strategy to this, like, undercover operation. And my biggest issue with the whole movie is that at the end, Sonny and Isabella could have ended up together, but they don't.
Aww.
So this romantic subplot, which was, like, the only thing that kept me interested in the movie.
Yeah.
Ends with, like, her going back to Cuba and Sonny just going back to Miami. And there's no reason why they can't be together.
Yeah, they could have lived in Cuba together.
I know. You know how sometimes movies end like that? But then there's that final scene where, like, she goes back to Cuba and she walks into her kitchen and then Sunny's, like, there at the kitchen table waiting for her.
Yeah.
You know those scenes?
That would have been nice.
Yeah, we didn't get that. Oh, and also Trudy wakes up from the coma that she was in due to that explosion. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness. So Ricardo, Rico, and Trudy are all good. And that's a wrap. The end credits are played to a heavy metal version of In the Air by Phil Collins.
Oh my God, I'm so sad I missed that.
Oh, it's good. You'll have to go back and listen.
I'm going to have to go back.
Mm-hmm. So at least the movie starts and ends on a musical high note. I can say that for sure.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. All right.
So tell me what you thought about the characters.
Let's get into characters. Honestly, some of the worst characters we've talked about so far. No one shows, like, any bit of personality except for, like, that small part in Cuba. And I'm not sure if we're supposed to, like, infer what we as a audience are to assume about these guys from the show, maybe. Like, I don't know if that information's kind of supposed to transfer over. I have no idea. But
maybe.
Like, just all very stiff and stale and one-dimensional, just like classic one-dimensional.
Yeah. On the outside, tens. Total tens, all of them. They were all absolute smoke shows, beautiful people. But the character development was lacking, for sure.
Yeah. Next, we'll talk about the setting, especially since this movie has a place in the name, you would think that this movie may feature that place and what that place is known for. I felt like the setting was not very Miami. Like, I guess nightlife Miami, but, like, and again, very limited knowledge of the original show, but I feel like just from references made about the show that it was very, like, bright and sunny and beachy, and, like, they wore pastel suits and, like, crimes on, like, they were always at the beach and, like, women in bikinis, and I have no idea. I could be making this up. But I felt like the show had a lighthearted feel to it, and this was just, like,
totally
complete opposite. But, like, the only beach that they showed was in Cuba, and it's called Miami Vice. So I found that odd. It certainly, like, felt with it, like, fit in with the theme of the movie, which was a crime drama, but
yeah,
it almost was like a red herring being called Miami Vice and not showing Miami Beach.
Yeah, I didn't have the same, like you say, those, like, bright beachy pastel colors that you think of, like the Art Deco Miami, which I guess is all very 80s, and then I guess this was, like, the update version, but yeah, it wasn't super beachy. It was a little more nighttime, like doing deals in a warehouse.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about the setting. The fashion.
You liked Colin Farrell's hair like that.
Yes, ma'am.
It was, like, slicked back and greasy.
Yeah, it was super messy. Super messy.
It was, like, a little bit mullet-esque. And, like, I know mullets are kind of coming back with, like, the hipster kids. But, oh my God, he looks exactly like Billy Ray Cyrus. Tell me I'm wrong. He looked exactly like Billy Ray Cyrus. I am gonna post on Instagram a side by side of Colin Farrell in Miami Vice and Billy Ray Cyrus.
Okay, perfect. I can't wait to see that. Yeah, I like Colin Farrell's hair. What else did I like? I liked all the outfits that Isabella wore.
Oh, yeah.
She had some really great business looks and then some like nighttime Dirty Dancing dresses when they were in Cuba. Just a good sort of feeling. And maybe this is more to the setting, actually. But like I could really feel myself like in the hot nights in Havana. And then you had like the fast boats and the nice sunglasses. And there were some decent ocean scenes. So I was kind of into that vibe.
Right.
Yeah.
Moving on to music, we'll say it was bookended with two very great songs, with Encore and Numb and In the Air. But they played two Audioslave songs back to back. It's like they got a 2000s frat bro to make a playlist and then just call it a movie soundtrack. It was very male gaze.
The Audioslave to the sex scene. That's romantic. Yeah, it was worth a search on the internet to just look at the soundtrack.
Yeah.
I think. What are your overall thoughts?
Well, I clearly didn't like it, as I didn't even really watch maybe the last 20 minutes. I just felt this is like a very specific type of cop drama that's like maybe just a little too rich for my taste. I missed like the banter, the wisecracks, and like the shenanigans that a movie like Bad Boys might have had. Or even like some of the elements of like Fast and the Furious. They kind of have that lighthearted, like, funness to it. But that being said, like I said earlier, I read a ton of reviews on IMDb of this movie, and a lot of people did rate it very high. And like I said, a lot of those movies mentioned this director and mentioned some of his other movies and about how he's got this very particular style. So people were like, if you love him, you're really going to love this movie. And that, like, this movie does not hold your hand. It's not for a casual fan, not for a gal like
not for a gal like you. Well, so I'll go ahead and rate it. I'm going to give this 5 kilos of cocaine out of 10. And I appreciated the romantic subplots a lot. And I also just simply love watching beautiful people in beautiful weather. No matter how shit the dialogue is, if there's like good looking people and some nice outfits and some good backdrop, I'll be entertained slightly. On the other hand, I categorically do not like action movies. And the actual story was pretty boring, not to mention extremely hard to follow. There were also a couple glaring potholes that I just can't forgive. So am I sorry for choosing this flick pick? Maybe a little.
No, you 100% delivered. This is exactly the type of movie we need to watch because the world needs to be warned. They might get disillusioned by the name Miami Vice.
I sure did.
I am going to give this movie 1 mojito out of 5. And that mojito is missing many ingredients. It's just rum, warm and straight from the bottle.
Oh, amazing.
So next week, we have something special in mind. In light of all the recent news of Britney Spears' conservatorship legal battles, we are going to watch Crossroads. Hashtag Free Britney.
Ayo! I'm so excited to watch Crossroads. I can't wait. Like, I just want to do it tonight.
It's Britney, bitch.
It's Britney, bitch. And I'm not a girl, not yet a woman.
And I love rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lots to look forward to. Tune in next week. We'll have that for you. And as always, thank you for listening. We love you. Later, lovers.
Free Britney.